Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is David Cohn. The Michael K. Show starts now. Don't screw it up, boys.
Well, listen, I'll tell you something right now. Some of the things said in the intro today were true. Some things were not true.
No, Michael K.
We are definitely doing a big, big show today. Oh, Peter and Don on 98.7 ESPN. We'll be on Yes later, but right now a Ray Rowe only vehicle. Don, how are you this afternoon?
Terrific. And yourself?
I am like at 90%.
Oh, good.
I still have the lingering cough, a slight headache, but like I think tomorrow I'm at a hundo. That's how I'm feeling.
All right. And we need you for Friday, so.
Well, that's the thing. The whole goal, and by the way, big thank you to Rick, Dave, Ty Butler, everyone who went out yesterday to MSG to hang with the people. I feel bad that I wasn't able to do it, but I had to rest up and get myself together for Friday when we're at the bar at Moynihan Hall at Penn Station. So That's a whole thing. And Don, without any further ado, there's a lot on the table. Let's jump into game time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. And we have a lot of football we got to get to. There's some a Jets update that I think is certainly worth diving into. But first and foremost, we'd be remiss, Don, to not mention like the Knicks just falling into. It's obviously not something you panic about, but so annoying as a fan because Wasn't it the most obvious letdown spot?
No, it was. Now, I don't know whether they were just tired. Was it a trap game? But the Hornets came in one of the worst NBA teams on the road. And they just were pumped to play the Knicks. And that's what the Knicks have to be worried about going forward. Because it used to be just the building you had to worry about. Because teams would get pumped up to play at the Garden, play at the Mecca. But now they're going to get pumped up to play one of the better teams in the NBA. And it looked like the Hornets wanted it more. I thought the Knicks were exhausted. They looked tired. Had to play again without Brunson. But that shouldn't be any excuse to not be able to beat the Hornets. But the Hornets won the battles late, and you can just see by the way they carried themselves that they made that a game seven. So are the Knicks ready? If they're going to really take the turn, Peter, where teams are going to come in with a chip on their shoulder, are they going to be able to handle that? Because as good as they are, they still need to bring it every night to win. And that and last night can be an example of what happens when you don't.
I mean, it's such a great point you make about the fact that not only is the hype because it's MSG, but the hype is because this is one of the hottest teams in basketball. Like that, everyone knows you're always amped to go up against a team that's playing really well. But when that team is the Knicks and they get a ton of attention,
right?
You know that people want to just put it right on them.
It just hits differently when there's those, like when the Knicks do something, when it happens in New York or it happens in L.A., like in the NBA community, there's a legit buzz about the Knicks. Legit buzz. Just beat the Celtics twice. Beat the Celtics on national television. Players pay attention to that. And the Hornets don't have a lot of reason to go out there and play. Last night was a reason to go out there and play.
And listen, the Knicks played well in the first half. Up 16 at the half. You feel pretty good. Then they're up two after three, Don. So obviously they have a major collapse in the third, but you maybe think you have the opportunity to be like, hey, let's pull this thing together in the fourth. And they get crushed in the fourth and end up losing by seven. I mean, listen, you know when Kelly Oubre gets hot, you can only hope to contain him. 27 points, Rozier 25 points. And as you said, the Knicks did miss Randle. R.J. Barrett, poor shooting from the field.
Brunson, you mean?
I'm sorry, what did I say, Randle?
Yeah.
Had to do without Brunson. R.J. Barrett shot the ball 24 times and did not shoot well. So, you know, you didn't get what the performance you want. Mitchell Robinson did what he's been doing. And IQ was back to earth, so to speak, from where he was on Sunday against the Celtics. So listen, what are you going to do? None of us thought they were winning every game of the second half of the season. You're not going to be on the ledge here. But now you go out for a four-game swing on the West Coast, including a national TV game Thursday night against Sacramento, who is a very good team. And, it makes you – concern is too strong a word, Don. It's a reality check. That's what it's just a little dose of reality.
It's just a little reminder that you might not necessarily be all that, that just showing up is not going to be enough against anybody. And it's a nice little wake-up call.
Yeah, you got to play like the dog no matter who you're playing.
See, that's a great point. Quickly said at the end of the Celtic game, we got a bunch of dogs here. Well, you know what? You played more like a D-O-G-S last night than a D-A-W-G-S. So let's step it up here. Not a big deal, but you lose to a good Sacramento team tomorrow, and then it's all of a sudden two in a row, and then you've got to navigate through a West Coast trip, Portland coming up, and again, all winnable games for the way the Knicks are playing right now. Just make it just a blip on the radar screen and not a trend that's going to take away from the 9-game winning streak.
No, the scary part is this. All those games are winnable, Don. They're all losable, too. You can't tell me there's a losable game. I guess the most losable game here would be, the least winnable, the most winnable game for them is Los Angeles, the Lakers. That is like the one you really should win. But can you really feel like a game on a Sunday at Crypto is a gimme win? Yeah, the Lakers are not good, but you still can't really rest on that. Besides that, you have the Kings, the Clippers, the Blazers, and the Nuggets. So, yeah, Don, they're all games they can win, but they're all games they can lose as well.
Yeah, so just learn from it and move on. The good teams learn from it. Look, the NBA is full of it, right? I mean, look what's happened with the Celtics the last three games. Sometimes you just look at a box score and go, oh my, how did they lose? How did that happen? Because it just happens sometimes in the NBA. And you made a great point during our show meeting today. Can we stop with the blowing leads? It doesn't matter. You blow leads in the NBA. It's just a given.
It's a loss. Everyone adds to it like, oh, and they blew the lead. That's every night. Every team night is blowing 17-point leads.
Now, when you get a 28-point lead the way the Celtics blew against the Nets,
all right,
that's
yeah,
a that no, but just
no, you're
an
right
example
you're
off
right
the top of my head.
You're right.
But these like 17-15-point swings, it just happens. It just does.
Yeah, you're thinking of the 90s when you think, oh, my God, I can't believe they blew a 15-point lead. I never watch a game. If it's 16, 17 points at halftime, I might think, hey, we're in a good spot. I never think it's over. That would be insane at this point. And that is Game Time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, enjoy Tullamore Dew, the original triple blended, triple distilled, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. Please enjoy responsibly. Now, Don, you want to jump into Jets or Giants first? What are you feeling right now?
Well, we could jump into the Jets, because there's a little snippet of information, a little bit.
Well, then maybe we should start with a little very early Rodgers watch.
Aaron Rodgers is a great man.
Rodgers watch.
I think it's either going to be Green Bay or the Jets for Rodgers.
We all have certain coaches that have meant a lot to us over the years, and obviously Nathaniel is one of those guys. I have no problem with Ian Rappaport, Schefter. I think they're really good at their jobs. When it comes to me, they don't know shit. They really don't. 18 years, man. That's always going to be home.
Go ahead.
Wash away the rain, black hole sun.
Well, the Jets have visited the black hole, if you will.
Yeah.
They spent some time with Aaron Rodgers, and what we're hearing about this meeting, Don, is a couple of things. One, the quote from Woody Johnson, which was not overly informative, quote, "We'll find out," when asked about what's going to happen. And then the report saying that this would be the first of many meetings. What was your initial thought in hearing those things?
Well, anything kind of a getting to know, it's Rodgers getting to know the Jets. They should know everything about Rodgers. You don't want Woody walking in there and go, "Hi, I'm Woody Johnson. You are? Tell me a little bit about yourself. Where'd you go to school?" Like, you can't do that, because then it'd be like, well, you got to know me. So it's just Rodgers being introduced to Nathaniel, well, reintroduced to Nathaniel Hackett. Get to know Saleh. Get to know Douglas. All right, here's the roster. Here's what we're going to do. And you just it's basically going to the living room of parents trying to convince their son to go to a certain college. It's a recruitment trip. It really is. And the information is all on the one side of the table. And that side of the table is the Jets knowing Rodgers. But what does Rodgers know about the Jets other than just preliminary, ancillary kind of information that he just picked up from just being a football player?
Right.
So they got to sell it. And you know what? And the other thing that popped into my head is that you want to really be able to sell yourself. Like, if you remember the decision with LeBron James.
I remember it well.
And one of the things that hurt the Knicks was that when they met with him, you know, Donnie Walsh, unfortunately, was in a wheelchair. And he comes into the room, and it's a bunch of older gentlemen, and it just didn't feel like this is a great place. After he just went off a meeting with Pat Riley, who literally spilled all of his rings on a table, right? So there's something about a first impression, right? So hopefully they did that. They walked in there. Hey, we're not the girl that doesn't have a chance. You'd be stupid not to come here. Look at the talent we have. This is New York. Check out our facilities. Walk in there with a strut, Peter. Like, don't walk in there timid. Like, please sign with my team. Please come. Please allow the Packers to trade you to us. Walk in there with a strut saying, we're a quarterback away from winning a Super Bowl, brother. Come join us. I hope they had that Vince McMahon kind of strut walking into the room that's the meme that's out there all the time. Something like that happens in social media. Right? Like, just own the room, man. Light it up.
But you know what, Don? You're right. That's not the situation. Let's just be realistic. Can I give you my comp?
Sure.
This is the Jets are revenge of the nerds guy walking up to the hottest girl in school. I mean, the ultimate virgin of all virgins.
Right.
Going to see just the absolute prom queen and trying to make an impression. So they're not able to be like, hey, check out how cool my protractor is. I have the best glasses you'll ever see. I get straight A's. It doesn't matter. She's the prom queen. She has all the power in this situation. So I was sort of, when I saw this will be the first of many meetings, and I certainly want to leave it to Jets fans, because obviously I'm not a Jets fan. We care about what you guys think. 1-800-919-3776. My objective opinion, again, not as a Jets fan, but as someone who definitely wants the Jets to get Rodgers, I am rooting for this to happen. I was just like, oh boy, here we go. First of many meetings, huh? Because there are reports that this may be a one-team race, right? That it's really the Jets. So if it's really just the Jets, and we know the Packers are ready to move on, how do we know? Let's hear from Adam Schefter on the Packers being ready to move on from Rodgers.
Him playing quarterback for the Green Bay Packers in 2023 looks increasingly unlikely. Jordan Love looks more and more like he's going to be playing quarterback for the Green Bay Packers no matter what Aaron Rodgers decides. It seems to be and feels like it's moving in that direction.
So when you hear that, Don, and you know that they're at the top of the heap, I guess to me, I was just like, oh, how many meetings do they have to have? I mean, he knows what the Jets are, doesn't he?
Yeah, I kind of understand where you're coming from.
Here we go.
It's like,
exactly.
All right, if the Raiders are meeting with you tomorrow, well, then I want to meet with you after the Raiders to kind of top what they just said. But it's just you. That's it. There's one girl left to go to the prom. You're the guy. You ask her out. She says she has to think about it. You keep having meetings. Are you going to feel good about eventually wearing her down? Or just like, I guess she just doesn't want to go to the prom. Like, how does Rodgers feel about maybe having the Jets the only team interested? Does he feel like, well, maybe I am done. Maybe I need to retire. Nobody else is, you know, the Raiders don't seem to be interested in me. Packers want to move on from me. You would think, with as impressed as we are with the Jets, with their talent and what they were able to accomplish last year with no quarterback, that it shouldn't take several meetings to convince him to come here. They got Nathaniel Hackett, so he knows the system, All right. The players have been all tweeting at Aaron Rodgers about coming here. He's got to know how good Sauce Gardner is. He played against him. He's got to know the Jets roster. They played in the middle of the season against them.
Exactly, Don. You know you're coming to a team with the best offensive rookie and defensive rookie in the league. You know that's there.
Right.
Like you know Quinnen Williams is there. There's a lot that you know already going in that you'd think wouldn't take a lot of convincing. And I get it. They're the Jets. He's Aaron Rodgers. I get it. I just feel like at this point, it's starting to get scary if you're a Jets fan, because if it doesn't work out, where are we going?
Well, free agency hasn't officially started yet. There are quarterbacks, so it's not like they're quarterbacks signing other places. But this is the guy you want. You let Derek Carr walk because you felt that there was a very good chance you were going to get Rodgers. And it looks like he's not going back to the Packers. You're the only suitor. So what could go wrong? What does he have to know? He has to know the roster. He knows Hackett. All right, so he's got to know Robert Saleh. Get to know Robert Saleh. Robert Saleh is a good guy. He should be able to make a good first impression. Woody Johnson? I don't know. You know, Joe Douglas looks like he's a pretty good guy. Should be able to show at least a little bit of a resume of, hey, you know, I was able to trade. I was able to get all these young, talented players. Most of these players on the Jets roster are my draft picks, my signings. I traded Jamal Adams for a coup from Seattle. What else is there left to do? What, check out the Jets facility? If you tell me the second meeting, Peter, is him flying, checking out places to live, looking at their facility.
Great.
That makes sense. That should be the closer, right?
But no. Okay, how do you feel if on Tuesday we find out they're flying back to California?
I don't know what else there'd be to do.
I mean, you think the first thing they showed up, first thing he says, what's your favorite Fish album? He goes around the room. Then he maybe plays some and says, what kind of dancing do you guys do when you hear this? Like, I just look inside myself and dance. I'm dancing in my heart, but I want to see what you guys can do. We'll talk Jets a lot today, but also we got to hit the Giants for a second. Daniel Jones has spoken. He was asked, was there a point when you didn't think the deal would get done with the Giants?
You know, it's my first time going through it. There's certainly a lot of an emotional component to it, you know, as well. And we went up to the deadline, as you know, but it was good. You know, I think
there were probably
some points,
Don,
where you had more confidence and some points of time when you had less confidence. But, you know, it was always, you know, I wanted to find a way to work it out. And that was the goal. It was very much my mindset. You know, I'm glad we did. I'm, you know, thrilled to be back.
He was also asked about his asking price.
Yeah, I mean, I think I saw some of that, and, you know, there was plenty of numbers thrown out, and some may have been true, some may not have been true. So it's a negotiation. That's, you know, part of it. But I'm glad with where we ended up, and I'm excited about it, excited for the opportunity. I think it's a great deal for both sides and allows us, you know, to do some things going forward and continue to grow and improve.
You can hear the electricity. And lastly, he was asked about how his deal will affect the Saquon negotiation.
In a situation like this, you're, you know, trying to do what's best for you and your family while also balancing, you know, being part of a team and understanding the goals and the vision that we have as a team and as an organization. And that was certainly important to me throughout the deal. And, you know, I think we found a way to do both those things and to do the right way for both sides. So, yeah, that was certainly important to me. I mean, Saquon, I've said he means a ton to me as a teammate, as a friend, and means a ton to us as a player. So, you know, certainly I won't talk about his business, but, you know, that was a piece of it too.
Now, a couple of things jump out to me over the last two cuts we played. Number one, I think it's absolutely fair that he was asking for 45, considering the Giants upped their offer from 38 to 40. So I don't think anybody was lying when it leaked he wanted $45 million. I think that's absolutely true. And that's part of negotiations, and that's fine. Nobody should be mad at him. And if it got him an extra couple of million dollars, good for him. The other thing, and I wonder, Peter, when you throw out what's best for my family, aren't you kind of doing that to make yourself look less greedy? Because your family's taken care of, man. If you took the $38 million, I think they're good. All right, I didn't think you had to hold out for the 40 to get it over the top. All right? Mama's in the lap of luxury, okay? You have the best cars. The kids are going to the best schools. Don't start throwing out, well, you had to hold out for the extra $2 million. That was what was best for my family. That is a smokescreen to make it seem like that – don't get mad at me that I'm throwing out all this money. Just own it, man. Quarterbacks get a lot of money. Own it. But don't muck it up. I did what's best for my family. Family's taken care of. Heck, Baker Mayfield money's going to take care of your family. Am I wrong?
No. It's what everyone says. I get it. By the way, he doesn't have his own family yet, correct?
I don't know if he's not married. He's not with children. I think he has. He might be married. I'm not sure.
Listen, he is a football player. He may have four children and be married. We don't know.
But I don't think that's the case. Maybe it is. I don't know.
But he has a girlfriend, Ella.
The point is that when you say, I do what's good for my family, you were going to be good no matter what you sign. Franchise tag, take the $38 million, settle for the $40 million. Your family's taken care of. That's generational wealth, okay? And don't feel bad about that. That's the going rate, right? I mean, fans can get mad if they want. It's stupid. Quarterbacks get an outrageous amount of money. Athletes get outrageous amounts of money. You can't possibly relate to it. So don't try, okay? Don't talk to people that are getting by taking care of their families, making $60,000, $70,000 a year, saying that I did what's best for my family, going from $38 million to $40 million. Don't try to relate it. It's embarrassing. You can't. It's fantasy land. It's a completely different world. There isn't anybody on the planet that can relate to the money that athletes make outside of maybe Hollywood and music. And even then, I'm not sure it's relatable because that money a lot of times isn't guaranteed the way it is in professional sports. And even football, that doesn't guarantee all the money, still guarantees a lot.
Let's take a couple phone calls, Don.
Yes.
We have time for one here, Anthony, before we go to the break?
I don't see any
reason. Oh, yeah, I do. We got time for one. Let's go to Frank in Holbrook. Frank, what's up?
Yeah, listen, I've been following Aaron Rodgers. I'm a big Giants fan. We spoke before, me and Peter, okay, about Tyler Heineke. Okay, I've been following Aaron Rodgers when he was throwing touchdowns to DeSean Jackson at Cal. Then he sat with a clipboard. Let me tell you my feeling about Aaron Rodgers.
Hmm.
He's very excited to be a Jet. Where's he going in Green Bay? He's got Nathaniel Hackett now. Listen to this. He's going to come here. When the rumors came out about him looking at the Jets, he probably had his guys get paperwork on Garrett Wilson and everybody else and all the linemen and say, well, I could throw to this kid, or I could do this, or I could do that. So anyway, I think he's very excited inside to come here, play for New York. Broadway Joe said he could wear number 12, which is outrageous. But now the Jets will go see him and go to his house, and I can picture him saying, yeah, I got all the answers inside of me. Let me show you my fish tank. You see the little barracuda and the stingray? I got them a few years ago. That'll show him his dart room. Meanwhile, he's like, but the big question is, you got to be able to move around $58 million.
All right.
Okay?
Frank, thank you very much for this. This is, in a word, I have no idea what in God's name you're talking about. I love you, Frank.
Listen, that was chemically induced, that phone call.
We actually should have listened because he took some of Rogers' ayahuasca.
Yes,
that
did.
Had to be. 1-800-919-3776. I see Giants calls, Jets calls. We'll get to Knicks. Peter and Don on the K Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K Show podcast.
Hey, buddy. Hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Conference tournaments in college basketball getting going today as well, Don. I mean, they'd already been going, but really getting going today.
I like that. Something about afternoon sports I enjoy.
Something is like about having, like, even if you don't care about the game, just the fact that meaningful games are on.
Yeah, it's on. We saw it during the pandemic, right, where a lot of games were played in the afternoon. It's just, I'm sure it doesn't help ratings-wise, but gives people like us something to have on, something to kind of look at.
There were crazy ones during the pandemic. They're like football games on weekday afternoons. It was wild.
It was crazy.
Let's get back to the phones, 1-800-919-3776, and go to Mike in Brooklyn. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing, fellas? Glad to be on the show.
Thanks, man.
It's all about Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is an incredible all-world quarterback, and there's no doubt about that, but he wants the attention. He's not leaving Green Bay. You know, he loves to be that guy that everybody's talking about, but do you believe that he could come to New York, win the Super Bowl, do a Tom Brady? That's my real question. Do you believe he can really do that?
Yeah, I think he can.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's that good.
I mean, that's what they're hoping for. I mean, that's what you sign him for, is that he can play at an MVP level like he did a couple of years ago on a very talented team and win a Super Bowl. I mean, that's whether you believe that or not, that's what the Jets believe. That's what they're hoping for. And you don't think there'd be a ton of attention to do that in New York?
I think he wants the attention, but if he doesn't do it, then guess what? A lot of that, the star doesn't shine that bright anymore. Because like I said, he was holding the Green Bay hostage.
Well, he isn't doing it now. See, that's the thing, is that he might feel like, listen, I haven't done it in Green Bay. I go out there, win 13, 14 games a year, and lose in the playoffs. They drafted my replacement. They didn't get better at wide receiver. They let my favorite wide receiver leave to go to Vegas. Like, so if he's about winning, maybe Green Bay isn't the place to go out and win. So he's probably thinking, I need to go someplace else. Why not the Jets? They're a talented team. They feel like they're a quarterback away. So, yeah, if he's looking for the attention, then how do the Jets not provide him that attention?
Maybe it's just me that he's never going to leave Green Bay. They're going to have to kick him out.
I don't think you're right about that. I think that there have been multiple times when he was willing to do it. We appreciate the call. And at this point, it really sounds like they're ready to move on. So, I mean, does he really want to force that unpleasant a situation where they're stuck either putting a $50 million man on the bench or having him basically just force his way in? Frankly, here's why I don't think it's possible. From what I've heard, I think he empathizes with Jordan Love's situation.
Yeah, he understands it because he was Love.
Yeah, I don't think, even though he was annoyed at first when they drafted him, he doesn't want to keep him in that spot.
Listen, he's seeking attention. But Aaron Rodgers is at a level now where it really doesn't matter what market he's in. He's going to get a ton of attention. Yes, there will be pressure on him to win no matter where else he goes. That pressure still existed in Green Bay. And he won't get a soft landing in New York the way he might in Green Bay if he fails. But if he's looking for attention, Peter, tell me how the Jets can't provide him attention. He'll be a star here. He'll be talked about all the time.
I mean, I would argue that if you're successful, they can offer him more attention than anyone else.
It's hard to get more attention than Aaron Rodgers already has. He's on every commercial. It's all we talk about. So you think that they'll stop talking about him if he's in New York? No, they'll talk about him even more. And if he wanted to go back to Green Bay, I think he would go about things a little differently. I think this is a similar situation to what was happening with the Lions and Stafford. It'll be a mutual breakup. I think they're ready to move on from him, and he's ready to move on himself. The question is, does that move on to another team or move on to become the host of Jeopardy or move on and do a podcast or just get out of football altogether? That's the question.
Let's go to Jack in Phoenix. Jack wants to talk a little Giants. What's up, Jack?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up?
Been over a year since I called last. I don't have a problem with the Giants in signing him. You know, the market's pushing. That's what the market pushed on them. It's not their fault. That's what the figure is. It is what it is. Move on. I'm just glad that they restructured it because, you know, a couple of areas. I love to see them now. They got the two tackles. Now let them focus on the guards in the center and give them a little bit more protection because, you know, he wasn't sacked as much last year. I think this year he learned that he has the ability of escapability, that he can get out of the pocket when necessary, and he's learned how to do that. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the biggest change in him last season. He was able to recognize right away, get out of harm's way, either run or throw on a run and get out of trouble. You know, they shore up those two guard positions, center guard position, give him a wide receiver outside. And I'm hoping that the impact on the cap, what is it, $16 million is going to be this year? So that should free up some money for them for 19. There you go. But also, too, I wanted to, what's this thing with the way the cap is fluctuating? For some teams it's higher, other teams it's lower. And is that the dead cap space?
Yeah, it is. It's really, really complicated as far as like what's
weird,
dead cap,
you know,
money and all that. Weird. But the one thing, Jack.
One other thing before you cut me up.
Go ahead.
Before you go, I'll let you. As far as the NFL scheduling, are they going to go back to not scheduling the Giants and Jets at the same time this season?
Oh, no. That's it. Well,
yeah, I don't think so.
Well, I'll tell you what. And thanks for the call, Jack. If they both are good, they'll avoid doing that as much as possible. But it's still going to happen, Jack, and thanks for the phone call. It had to end because, Peter, you noticed when you were doing your Around the League with the announcers, there would be NFC games on CBS. Like two NFC teams playing each other on CBS.
Mm-hmm.
There would be the 425, the flexing. There was just no way under the current climate with the television contract that you could consistently never have the Jets and Giants be both at 1 o'clock. There's going to be times it's going to happen. But if both teams are good, there's a better chance one of the two will be at 425 on the national spotlight and get more primetime games. So there'll be less of them, Peter, but they'll always be the case because things have changed now. They can't do it. They can't convenience the New York market anymore. They're too hamstrung with the way that it is. Now, as far as the cap is concerned, do you have faith in Joe Shane? If you have faith in Joe Shane, don't worry about the cap. The only teams that are in cap hell are usually bad teams with bad general managers. Good general managers figure it out. Don't you find that to be the case, Peter? Mm-hmm. Like, there's no cap hell for guys that know what they're doing. Now, the guys that know what they're doing usually don't go into cap hell, but if they do stumble into there, they find ways to alleviate it. So the fact that they got cap space, if you believe in Joe Shane, he'll rebuild this roster. This is not a Gettleman situation where there's insanity reigning all over the place and you're in, you know, cap hell all the time. Those days are over. I believe Joe will stop that from happening.
Let's go to Tessa, who has a question about Saquon. What's up, Tessa?
Hey, guys. How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
Like the other previous caller said, that's what the market called for. I already knew. I didn't think he was going to get the $40 million with Jones, but I thought it was going to be about 38, 39. Okay, cool. I like that, you know, the incentive later on you might can get $35 million. What I'm very confused about is this. I'm confused why the Giants gave Saquon the non-exclusive franchise tag, which is allowing other teams to negotiate with him. My issue with that is this. Okay, cool. If you think he's okay to walk, why do they think Daniel Jones will be the same exact player next year without him? You can go ahead and get any running back you want to, but they're not Saquon. They're not like a top five running back out here right now that's going to be available that they're going to have to stack the box for. Daniel Jones, to me, would not be the same QB that he was this season without Saquon. You need the tandem. So I don't understand why can they just tag Saquon and then work the deal out to, you know, July. You know, I think they wanted to give him $12 million. I think Saquon, I don't know, he wants $15. Okay, go in the middle and give him $14. You know what I mean? Just get it worked out, but I'm very confused a little bit. I feel like it's almost like a slap in the face for Saquon, and I feel like he's going to – I'm nervous. I'm on a ledge. Like, I think he's going to walk, and I don't want to lose him. I know how running backs, they can't get that type of money like that But he's worth it, and he proved it. So just get this man 13-5-14. Saquon, come in the middle. You just said earlier, you're coming off an injury. You're not trying to get astronomical. Okay, so meet in the middle. But can you guys just explain to me, in your opinion, why they gave him that tag? Because why couldn't it just be a regular franchise tag?
Because it would be more money. It would be the average salary of a running back over the last 5 years, or 120% more than the previous salary. So it would just be more money.
Okay.
And they don't want to pay more than the 10.1 that the non-exclusive gives them. That's just it.
But Don, are you? I'm sorry for cutting you off. Are you hearing what number? What number he's asking for? Because I remember in the offseason they was trying to give him 12.
Right.
But I know McCaffrey was getting 16.
I think that's what he wants.
I felt like in the middle. You think he wants to come on? He just told us in the last interview he wasn't trying to get crazy. Like, why can't he just be okay with 14?
Because I don't know if at 14, you're making it seem like, well, why can't he be okay with that? Are the Giants okay with it?
Yeah, I don't think they are.
They offered 12. Now you're going to 14. It sounds negligible when we're talking about quarterback money. But running back money, and I know it's unfair because right now I think he might be better than McCaffrey. But
me too.
Can I afford to pay my running back $14 million a year if I don't think he's worth it?
So Don and Peter, do you agree with me when I say if they lose Saquon, Daniel Jones, it's a big chance he could take a step back?
But they won't lose him.
He doesn't have that threat?
But they won't lose him. They have him for this year, right?
Well, it's not exclusive.
I thought that if another team offers him, it's not exclusive.
No, but,
so if another
but
team,
they would still, okay. They would still have to give the Giants 2 first-round picks.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's
so
right.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. Yeah. He is going to be a Giant next year. And if he goes out there and rushes for 1,600 yards, Tessa, well then maybe we're talking. You know, maybe they can get something done.
Right.
But if he gets hurt, you know, then they could franchise him again.
You're right.
Tessa, I feel you because he's such a good kid and he's such
he
a
is.
Good player. The only negative, it's the only negative on him. Peter and I have met him, talked to him. He's an absolute gem of a human being. He's a running back. He's an RB. And that's what just kills him. It's the only negative.
Yeah.
He plays the wrong position.
Thanks, Tessa.
He does.
It's so true. He really is terrific. And I think we all agree that if Daniel Jones loses the security blanket of healthy Saquon.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, you can clearly see the distinct change in Daniel Jones with and without Saquon in the lineup. There's no doubt about that. But it really does stink. It's so crazy, too. When we were kids, I just think about how valuable the running back position was. It's one of the biggest changes in football over the last 20 years to me. Is the value of the running back.
But don't you think as a kid, when you were a kid growing up, you probably could name the starting running back on every NFL team?
Yes.
You think you have any shot of doing it now?
No.
Because it's usually multiple guys, you know, different guys getting the ball. There's like not one featured back. Yeah, you know Henry, you know Zeke, you know Saquon. There's certain guys you know, but not like it was when we were kids. You knew everybody. Because it was such an important position, it's been completely devalued over the last decade.
Such a great point. We could probably go back and name practically every old running back from back in the day.
If you threw out a team, you would throw out a running back.
Yeah.
Just easy. It would be a great Pollard game. Falcons, Griggs. Oilers, Campbell.
When I think Falcons, great running back, I think Jamal Anderson.
Well, there you go. Yeah, because it depends. No matter what the era, as long as it's not recent, you could play this game. You know, it could be fun. Chargers, Chuck Muncy.
LaDainian Tomlinson.
See? This. You know what? Michael's not here. We should play this.
This should
be our 5 o'clock hour today.
Welcome aboard, yes. Great to have
you. You're kidding. That Yankee game ended in a lickety-split.
Well, I wonder why. But listen, if you're listening to us on the Ray-Row,
we love
Yes, but you just stay right there on the Ray-Row.
Where are you going?
Yeah, where are you going? You know what? Turn on Yes, mute it, and just leave the Ray-Row running. Now, Don, coming up next, I don't know if you know, it's Would You Wednesday.
I know. And if you notice, it's going to definitely be better than it's been because Michael won't be asking the questions.
But I did forget to tease this earlier in the show, but fortunately, I know we have a very active Twitter audience. So tweet at us and at TMKS ESPN with your Woodjas for today. And we're going to get to Woodja Wednesday anyway, regardless of whether K is here or not. And Don's right. It will be better as a result of no K. And I say that with all due respect.
And I have one for you, too.
You do?
Yeah, it just came to me. Just came to me now.
Fantastic. Also, Don, we mentioned earlier that the college basketball is getting going today. And, you know, Friday, you know where we're going to be on Friday.
Friday, we're going to be at Moynihan train station across from Madison Square Garden.
That's right. What's happening at Madison Square Garden?
Big East.
That's exactly right. And this Hoops preview is brought to you by Bet365. Download the app today. Seton Hall takes on DePaul in the first round of the Big East tournament at 5:30 today. Woodja Wednesday next. Michael K. Show, Peter and Don on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. It's uncomfortable.
No, I don't think I could.
Really? Well, she's a total smoke show.
At times incriminating.
Well, hold on.
Let's not be rash.
Let's not be, Don, hold on, but don't answer yet.
And a Michael K. Show favorite.
Michael, you're such a chime.
It's the Woodya Game.
We play it off the air all the time. The Woodya Game.
All right, guys. The Woodya Game. I'd say it's sponsored, but it's not. In due time, though, I believe it will be. Should be. Now, I just gave out the tease for this, Don. Tweet me at Rosenberg Radio or at Don McGregor, TMKS ESPN, with your Woodja. But, Don, you said you had one today. So
that's right.
So bring it to me.
All right, Peter. I'm going to give you $500 million in cash. And I'm going to guarantee you that you will live till 106 and you will die in your sleep, never feeling any pain from this moment until your dying day.
Okay.
But you'll never be able to hear music again. Something about your body, even when commercials are playing, you would be deaf to any music, would never hear it. Turn on a radio, you'd hear the DJs, you wouldn't hear music.
Wow.
It's gone from your life.
Wow. But 500 mil.
500 mil, live to 106, never face any illness until your dying day. But die peacefully in your sleep, dreaming about
Halle Berry?
Yes.
Look what you've done. Look what
is that a good one or what? Is that somebody who knows how to play the game or what?
Do you see what's happening here, people? You see me confused, not knowing what to do? That's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
If the person immediately blurts out an answer, it was a failed, would you?
And we stayed completely on brand. We didn't offend anybody.
We didn't wish death on anyone we love.
Right.
Wow. So, well, I'm guessing your answer is you would say no. You're good.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. You know what? I'd be miserable if I didn't have music in my life. Even though I live to 106 and never have illness, it would not be an enjoyable life for me. So, as much as it pains me to say, I would not take that deal. But it would be very difficult because that's a spectacular offer.
I just want to let you know, at 106. You know, that's like 50 years from now, Don.
I know.
You'd get to watch. You might meet great-grandchildren.
I know.
This is a big... I'm trying to tug at your heartstrings a bit here. You'd get to know the fully adult Marco and Jalen. Like real adults with teenage kids, potentially. Just throwing that out there for you.
I know. But no music. Peter. No music? Nothing? Think of how sterile your life would be. Think of all the times that music has grabbed you, made you feel a certain way.
I wish I knew what the other option was. Because, like, if I keep music and I dropped out of a heart attack next week, what a terrible decision.
Terrible decision.
Hard to get up from.
Very hard to get up from. Almost impossible.
Some would say impossible to get up from. All right. You know what? I think I'd have to let go of music. And I'll tell you why. Would you like an explanation? You want to get deep into my soul?
Yes.
Because that's what we do on this show. This isn't some, we may be performative at times, as Michael Kay likes to say, but this show, we open up our insides and let you smell our guts. That's what we do. The truth is, I'm 43. I'm getting remarried, started life kind of over again. Haven't had children yet. Very much want them. You never know what's going to happen, how long that's going to take. I would need to guarantee as much time as I could. If I could guarantee time, it would take off so much pressure that I'm currently living with that as much as I'd miss music, I think I'd take the 106 rich and healthy.
Yeah, it's a conundrum.
Listen, it would hurt. Tomorrow morning, I'd show up to see Ebro and Laura, and they'd be talking to me, and I go, I don't know what you guys are talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about. And then, you know, if you have a daughter and she gets married, the father-daughter dance at her wedding.
But at least I could still have the dance.
You'll be dancing in, you know, silence, complete silence. You wouldn't hear the music.
That's the name of my 14th biography.
You know what? You've made a valid point. I mean, we're being selfish to say that we wouldn't take the deal. Because as much as it would not be an enjoyable life to have no music, but to be there, lock.
That's what I'm saying.
To
you're
be able
locked.
To see at 106, I'm seeing grandkids.
Probably. No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Grandkids, yes.
All right, so what else do we have? That was a good one.
I can come up with one for you.
Oh, Anthony's got one.
Anthony got one?
Don kind of took the one that I was talking about on the call. But if we split it up now and we just leave it to the one side regarding sports.
Okay.
Would you guys be willing not to watch sports for an entire year? On December 31st, 2023, somebody tells you you're not allowed to watch sports for the rest of the year. For this next year in 2024, but one of your teams will win a championship. You don't know which one, and you can't pick which one, but one of the teams that you care about will win a championship. Do you take that deal? You don't get to watch sports for a year.
But one of them wins.
But one of your teams wins, and you don't find out until the next year when you finally get to watch sports.
No. That is easy. No.
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 So just not even for the championship itself, you need to be there. You need
yeah,
to
my love of the Commanders is completely selfish.
I think that's fair.
If they don't exist in my world, I don't care if they close the franchise down and never play another game. I mean, you know what I'm saying, Don? I don't own the team.
Right.
With all due respect, they exist for my joy and entertainment.
Yes, exactly.
So I think that's actually easy now that I think about it. Yeah, I'm good. If I'm getting a championship, I need to see said championship, or it didn't happen.
Yeah, what fun is that?
Now, Don, do you know that Kiss is playing two shows at Madison Square Garden?
Yes.
On December 1st and December 2nd?
I do know. One of them is going with Michael.
And yeah, I might have to go now to this, by the way. But just to see the crowd at the Kiss show in 2023, I have to be there. We'll keep it locked to the K Show today for your chance to score a pair of tickets. It's all brought to you by Live Nation. Tickets go on sale Friday, March 10th at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.